This is the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel, bringing you all the big match reaction with views from the press box, the dugout and the stands.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Liverpool Echo's Post Game Podcast with me, Patrick Smith, following Liverpool's 5-1 thrashing of Toulouse, ensuring the Reds preserved their perfect record in the Europa League. Diogo Jota opened the scoring early on for the Reds before Thijs Stellinger struck to equalise for the visitors. But Liverpool were far too strong, as goals from Lautaro Endo, Darwin Nunez, Ryan Gravenberch and Mohamed Salah ensured the Anfield faithful had plenty to cheer about. The win means Jurgen Klopp's side have virtually guaranteed their spot on the knockout stage of the competition. Let's bring you some reaction. Up first with the Liverpool Echo's Paul Gorse from the Anfield press box, Jurgen Klopp's press conference and then the view from the Kop with a brilliant from Mark Baker.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Liverpool are closing in on the knockout stages of the Europa League after a 5-1 win here at Anfield against Toulouse this evening. It's now 33 goals in just 13 games for Liverpool so far this season, with 25 of them being shared between a devastating front five. Diogo Jota, Darwin Nunez and Mo Salah all on target in this one to add to that tally, and Lautaro Endo with his first Liverpool goal, and Ryan Gravenberch scored as well in the second half. Liverpool were good value for the victory, in all honesty. Diogo Jota got the ball rolling inside 10 minutes with a wonderful goal. Took it on the half turn from Joe Gomez, rolled his way past a couple of defenders and then stuck it into the bottom corner. Toulouse broke the offside trap not too long after to make it 1-1, but you never really felt that Liverpool were in any undue pressure or weren't ever going to come away from this one with maximum points, and so it proved to be a couple of quick fire goals in the second half before Gravenberch made a 4-1 and Salah off the bench to make it 5-1 in stoppage time. Lautaro Endo, as I say, with his first Liverpool goal, a wonderful header in the Anfield Road end to make it 2-1, and then Darwin Nunez with his fifth of the season rattling it home. A couple of quick fire goals to give Liverpool a 3-1 lead at the break. Nunez was excellent all night, as was Jota, but Nunez really looked like a man with something to prove. And to be fair, Jurgen Klopp said on Wednesday in his press conference that his adaptation period is now over and he really feels like he's in the middle of the team. And he played like a man who felt like that as well. He was causing constant problems for the Toulouse back line. Never gave up with his running, his willingness to chase down lost causes, and a bit of quality in possession as well. He should really have made a 4-1 when he took a through ball from Jota past the defender superbly. He rounded the goalkeeper, and then with the goal gaping, he somehow conspired to strike the post. And as Ryan Gravenberch spared his blushes with the rebound, Nunez still felt like a man who was disappointed. He was on his knees inside the penalty area and he couldn't quite believe that he'd missed the chance. But he got his goal nonetheless and was excellent all night. And as I say, it's now 5 for the season for him. It's also 9 for Mohamed Salah, who made a 5-1 in stoppage time, rattling it in with his right foot off the underside of the bar. And if the old adage is that trophies are won with defenders, Liverpool are doing their best to disprove that, or rather make it the opposite, in fact, through this season. It's a blistering from five. We've seen Cody Gakpo return to the team as well today after his first appearance in nearly a month, obviously being injured since that controversial 2-1 loss to Tottenham. But he was lively as well. And you're looking at it now, and all of Liverpool's front five are pretty much in form. You know, Luis Diaz was uninvolved this evening, but he was a constant source of problems for Everton in the Merseyside derby on Saturday. Nunez was superb here. Salah goes without saying, he is one of the greatest of all time at Liverpool. Jota, a menace, particularly in the Europa League. His great record in this competition goes on. And Gakpo is back inside after a month out with injury and looks sharp as well. So, you know, this set of attackers that Jurgen Klopp has at his disposal is quite fearsome. And you fancy now, with Liverpool just 2 points away from qualification with 3 games left to play, they will wrap that up in double quick time. We don't envision too many problems on that score. And then it's about the knockout stages, and you think most teams in this competition will be terrified to come up against Liverpool with what they've shown in the early stages, particularly, as I say, with that front five who can win any game even when Liverpool aren't at their sparkling best. They were better here this evening than they were on Saturday, but regardless, it's now 7 goals scored in the last 2 games at home, and they now welcome Nottingham Forest at Anfield on Sunday before Carabao Cup action returns at Bournemouth next week. But for now, Liverpool can Rest assured that they have done pretty much enough to qualify for the knockout stages. They now just need 2 points, as I say, from a possible nine. It's now Toulouse up next in France on November the 9th, I believe, and then they can look to maybe rest one or two, or maybe three or four, with more pressing matters in the Premier League. But for now, it's finished here at Anfield. Liverpool 5, Toulouse 1.
The post-game podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jürgen, 9 points from a possible nine. How satisfied are you with what you saw again tonight?
Very, very. Result good, performance good. Especially a lot of really good individual performances, which is nice because important for development. Besides the goal we conceded and the chance. That's interesting. And the chance we gave them, and Trent had this spectacular save. Around that, everything what we expected. Toulouse is a good team. Toulouse is playing football, and we gave them. We put a proper shift in. That's what I wanted. And then the goals we scored were wonderful. I would say the right players scored the goals. All of them were really, really good. And nothing to complain really.
Obviously, a win will guarantee passage into the next phase, the knockout phase, in the next game against Toulouse. But this is the first time in 32 years that Liverpool have won each of the first seven home games in a season. So that, on top of the fact that what you've seen tonight and also how you've done in this competition so far, what is all that saying about the strength and depth that you've got within this squad now?
Obviously, I didn't know it and I didn't think about it. But I think I said before, I think it's really easy to fall in love with this team because it's so much excitement in it. We have to make massive steps. We have to grow. We have to get more stable. We have to do a lot of things, but a lot of signs are really promising. That's true as well. And how the team interact with each other is really nice, because we had to, when you talk about the rebuild of a team, then it's all about the things what you see on the pitch, obviously, but it's as to see that there must be a rebuild off the pitch as well, and that's going really well. Players grow into their new roles, if you want, and that's all good. But besides that, nothing really happened. We imagine we wouldn't have won all three games in the European League, and everybody would tell me, how can you not, blah blah blah. So it's small margins. That's how it is. But so far it's okay. And before we play Toulouse again, we have three games. So there is a lot that can happen between now and then. And I would like to play them all one after the other, and not making two big steps. And good.
Seems that Ryan Gravenberch is putting a big smile on your face as well. And it seemed that he got the biggest hug when he came off the pitch tonight as well. Was that as much for him being able to slot when Nunes hit the post, as well as his overall performance?
The goal was immediately before, was it? No. Yeah. I don't know. So, because I don't know. I really like him as a boy and as a player. And it's really nice to see how much he starts believing in himself again. That's obviously very important for a young player especially. And so that's cool. Lots to improve, which is it's good news, because everybody sees the good signs and that the potential he has, but there's so much more to come. So that's good. I like a lot of individual performances, but I would like to mention Mataro and Lo, because So obviously, I'm not sure people think that's spectacular or whatever, but the forward passes he played tonight were absolutely incredible, and how often he broke lines with one touch, that was absolutely insane. Then he scores a wonderful goal, which helps each player, even a more experienced player. So that's really cool. He would have got a similar hug if I would have taken him off, but he had to play through.
I just want to ask you finally from me anyway about Darwin, because he scores a good goal.
And he played incredible.
The play before he hit the post, the way he's gone past the defender and rounded the keeper. Calmness is there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's now. Honestly, in this moment, I don't think, I couldn't care less that he hits the post in that moment, because everything before was super convincing, was absolutely clear, was how he took the defender away, how he passed the goalie. It was a perfect situation. He played really good. The goalie scored, the situation was involved, dropping into midfield, staying on the ball, all these kind of things. So there were a lot of good things, and he is in a good moment, and that's for us obviously important. And so I'm really pleased for him with the performance. And yes, it's a bit of slapstick that the ball goes not in and Ryan finishes it off, then it's cool. But I said before the game, he's happy boy or man in a moment, and you can see that every day. And you know, we have to make sure that it stays like that.
Any more on tonight's game
before
we move on?
You don't.
Yes. Hi, Jürgen. Full debut for Luke Chambers and then two more debuts off the bench. Obviously a proud night for them. How pleased were you with Luke and the others who came off the bench?
Very, it's really nice. So they all deserve it massively. Luke had a long injury, so he had a really good year last year in Scotland. Was a lot of interest there in the summer, but I didn't blink for a second and I thought, I can't let him go. Because I really think that in the moment, our U23s, when they're all together, that's a super strong side, and that's important as well. And they train with us. And the session we had yesterday, the minus one session, a proper minus one session in the longer period between Premier League and the European League game, then you have a proper session. You don't get that somewhere, this quality and stuff like this. So it's really important that the boys go through that as well. Please for him, I wouldn't say Luke is in the moment is top shape because of the injury and because of a little setback. But we 100% believe in him and trust him. And I wanted to show that tonight. So on a position, the next one is knocking on the door with Callum. Everybody could see, really exciting player and a few situations where it was maybe too excited, but a real talent and a real heart for football. And James played a sensational preseason for us. We gave him a new position, put him on the six, and he did really well there because very smart, and he deserves it. Well, if Ben Doak would have been available tonight, he would have got minutes, like Bobby Clark probably would have got minutes. So that's how it is, and we should not forget Chira Kwanzaa, who played again. So a lot of good boys coming up, and it's not enough that I tell them what I do from time to time, not too often, but from time to time. But sometimes you have to show it tonight, the opportunity to do so, and we did, and that's good.
The Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.
Steve Dawson on Liverpool's big win in the Europa League. Big win because we scored lots of goals and it was very entertaining, wasn't it? Against opposition that I think wasn't that bad. They missed a sitter, certainly. Not top quality Premier League opposition, you'd say, but Liverpool went out there and certainly were more than satisfactory. That's a good result. A great opportunity for some of the players who don't necessarily get a look in the Premier League automatically, and that's why this Europa League experience is in many ways a very positive one for us. So a good win, yes, but there's a couple of things that I think we need to keep some perspective on. I think Liverpool early on once or twice were guilty of pressing with a little bit too much vibrancy, and the ball got played through us once or twice, and that led to some Toulouse breaks, which on a different day might have changed the game and the way it would go after those early incidents. I think also good to remember that, you know, we conceded one goal and we really should have conceded another, but for Trent on the line. So, you know, let's not be too critical, but it wasn't wholly convincing if you consider those two things, but you can't really argue with the scoreline. I thought it would be useful to take a closer look at three players. That's what I came out with today. The standard Darwin Nunez watch. I really enjoy it when Nunez is picked. He certainly contributes a net positive to the game these days. There's no question about that. He's very difficult to manage. I think if you're a defender on the opposing team, and I think he certainly adds to Liverpool's overall sum when he's in that starting 11, and certainly also when he comes off the bench. But I think his character, you know, the Darwin Nunez persona, is pretty much cut in stone now. I'm not saying it won't ever change, but I think it's going to be something that will only change in the not foreseeable future. You know, I think we kind of know who he is now, what kind of a player he is, what we can expect from him, good and not so good. He showed tremendous first touch, particularly in the early going. He's got very quick feet, hasn't he? I mean, really, it's impressive what he does with the ball when it's beneath him at his feet there. He's got good thinking in tight spaces. It's really when he doesn't need to think too carefully, I think, that he probably does his best work. And if you think about, you know, on the whole, relatively speaking, Harvey Elliott and Diogo Jota were quiet in comparison to Darwin Nunez. He certainly was the one that stood out from among the three who began the game up front. And he really smashed that goal home, didn't he? I have to say, I don't agree with Joe Cole when Cole said at halftime that he lifted it. And then the other pundit, Fred, I don't know her name, she said that, you know, she said also that he was smart in lifting the ball, you know, picking out the top corner. I don't think that's what happened. In fact, I'm quite convinced that that's not what happened. If you look at the replay, the ball, I'm not sure that it really bobbled, but it all just happened a little bit too quickly for Darwin. When he swung his boot at it, when he eventually made contact, the ball was higher off the ground than he wanted it to be. Therefore, he got underneath it and he hit it with such venom that it just rocketed into the roof of the net. I don't think that's where he intended to put it. I just think he got underneath it and smashed it high. So, you know, compare that to Mo Salah's goal where he, I think you could say, intended to put that in the top corner, albeit on his right foot. So you don't necessarily conclude that Mo's boot did what his brain wanted him to do. But I think, you know, we all know that Mo Salah is a player of very high quality. And if the ball went into the top corner, it's a fairly good bet that that's where he intended it to go. A couple of other things that I think help confirm this persona that we're all, or certainly I'm starting to develop, or continuing to develop, for Darwin Nunez. He made that exceptional contribution going backwards to the extent where he was actually goal side of all 11 Toulouse players, having one possession, saved the day. And then he just switched off, totally switched off, and very nearly lost possession. And it was only the panic that set in when he felt the boot of the Toulouse player make contact with the ball that he managed to switch back on again, recover very, very well, do a 180-degree turn, and recover the situation completely, lay the ball off, and everything was fine. And then there's that situation, wasn't there, when he again showed remarkably quick feet on the break. Great presence of mind, speed, strength and skill to round the goalkeeper. And then hit the post on an open goal. I'm not saying this was, you know, a terrible error, because I think he was forced to push the ball slightly wide, had to stretch slightly more than he was comfortable with to make the connection to strike towards goal. But you would expect him to score. I don't think there's any question about that. You would certainly hope that he scores, and you'd expect it too. And I think he expected it. You could see from the reaction and the disappointment that came when he hit the post, and fortunately Gravenberch was there to tuck it away. But this is Darwin Núñez. His overall contribution is positive. I love it when he's selected. I know it means good things for Liverpool, but you're going to get this aspect of his play where he does things that are less than perfect, sometimes a little bit ridiculous, but that's him. And I've slightly changed my view on him. I think probably at one time I probably said, you know, if we could get a good price for him, why not sell him? I think his net contribution is positive, and I like that we stick with him, but I don't think we're going to see a change in this characterization that I've shared in this podcast. If it does change, it's going to be something that happens over a lengthy period of time. I think the Darwin Núñez we're seeing now is the Darwin Núñez we're going to see for the foreseeable future. A couple of other players to look at. I think Endo was very encouraging, wasn't he? He wants the ball. When he gets it, he moves it quickly. Yes, that 10-yard pass is very, very good, but he also hits the odd 25-yard pass on the ground, breaking the lines. Not often, but from time to time, it's in his locker. He can certainly do that. He's got a very good touch. He's quick to get into the challenge, into the face of the opponent when they have the ball, if he's within range. And he took his goal very well. He's not the tallest player, but he got up well, put some direction and power on the header, used the pace of the cross well also. He even shields the ball in a way that's not a million miles away from Gini Wijnaldum, which has to be a bonus. I'd like to see him given a nice little run in the Premier League, perhaps Anfield games against lesser opposition, if there is such a thing in the Premier League. I think the way he performed tonight, albeit, yes, against Toulouse, is better than I think what we're seeing from McAllister in that position. I think we all agree that McAllister is an exceptional player, but for the time being, he's taking one for the team and having to play out of position. The only problem is if Endo steps in now to that role in the Premier League, you'd assume that McAllister gets a lot of football in the number eight position. So who plays the number six position in the cup games? Well, it looks as if Endo would play every single game, which can't be right until we bolster our squad in that area in January. So we'd need to find someone to play that sixth role in the Europa League, etc. But I think that's not beyond Jurgen Klopp, and it's not beyond our squad. Just finally, quick word on Ryan Gravenberch. I think when we were getting, well, certainly when I was getting intrigued and somewhat excited by Kone and Thuram over the pre-season break, when we were being linked with those players, and you know, you watch YouTube, that's about the only option you get unless you watch them regularly live. What we saw from both of those players was tall, leggy, strong players, all legs and arms, that can burst through players, two and three players at a time, just burst through, break the lines with the ball at their feet, I should say, with strength, with pace, difficult to defend, really agony to defend against, I think. And that's what seemed to be appealing about those players. And that's what I saw a lot of from Ryan Gravenberch tonight. He can do just that, can't he? He's strong with the ball. He's a bit irresistible with the ball at his feet. He doesn't want to lose it. That's not to say he won't lose it from time to time, but he's absolutely determined to bring that ball beyond the line of players that are gathering around him, get through them and take two and three players out of the game at any one point. And once he gets ahead of them, then big things can happen because we've got numerical advantages straight away. So I like what I saw from Gravenberch tonight, and I think there's a lot more to come. Good win. At Galasahi on Twitter, GULASAHI.
Comfortable victory for Liverpool in the Europa League against Toulouse. And I suppose over the first couple of weeks of the season, the only positive, I suppose, what can be seen out of a season out of Europe's elite competition is the fact that it could really pay dividends for Liverpool down the line this season when you think that their direct rivals are going to be playing against a higher calibre of opposition, and probably the outcome of their games is going to be much more in the balance from week to week in the their midweek fixtures, which with Liverpool essentially being able to rest what they would perceive as their most important players over the first months of the season. Again, that could be a real factor when the sort of latter stages of whatever race Liverpool are in, whether that's for the top four finish, whether that's for a bit higher in the Premier League, them small factors could really go in Liverpool's favour this season. Of course, Liverpool will have to field what they would perceive as stronger sides later in the competition as the standard of opposition will get higher. But over the vast majority of the competition, Liverpool are going to be expected to win the fixtures. And if they are able to elevate their level of quality throughout the 90 minutes of the teams they face, they will normally be on the right side of the outcome. So I suppose in what is a negative situation, Liverpool not being in the Champions League, I suppose any small fine margins they can gain over their opposition or direct rivals over the early weeks they've got to take, and I suppose they've been doing so with the strong start of the season, but something that I suppose won't be truly felt until the latter stages of the season when we can see what impact it has, not only on Liverpool, but the teams who I suppose have been playing in the Champions League against the higher calibre of opponents. And I suppose the big talking point over the last few weeks for me in terms of personnel in Liverpool's side has probably been the performances of Ryan Gravenberch, who I've been really impressed with. And I think it's difficult, obviously, he didn't play much at his former club. And I suppose he's still getting them sort of minutes in his legs and building up some minutes match play time. And of course, at this moment in time, Klopp's sort of managing that scenario with him in terms of pulling him out at certain moments in games and resting the legs. But from what we've seen over the early couple of weeks, this is a really promising player for Liverpool. I don't think there can be any doubt about that, that he's got real elite technical level in possession of the ball. And I think, ultimately, I've mentioned this before in the early podcasts surrounding me sort of early thoughts on Gravenberch, is there's no question his elite trait is being able to receive the ball on the half turn and contort his body from facing his own defensive third. And in a situation where it might be a slow build-up from Liverpool or they're trying to sort of build the game from a deeper area, and all of a sudden he's got that ability in one touch to be able to go from facing his own goal to be able to then facing the opposition's goal in terms of his receiving techniques. And it is a real, real elite trait for me. I mean, I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago, it's very similar to Cody Gakpo. Now, I know Gakpo obviously plays on the highest line of the pitch, but it's very much the same sort of techniques where he can almost roll his body in one movement to be able to put the team in a scenario where they go from an unthreatening one in possession and all of a sudden they're out the other side of the opposition in one touch and are able to be in scenarios where they've got moving targets to hit. And you can certainly see in Gravenberch's case that he is an elite ball carrier, really, the way he's able to slalom and travel with the ball. And that all comes because he allows himself that time and space. He's able to play in them little pockets in the higher areas of midfield and be able to turn, contort his body in one movement, and all of a sudden he's then in a situation where he's facing up the opposition and is able to drive into that space. And I think I mentioned Gakpo before, and it's certainly a sort of similar technique in the way they receive the ball, because both of them have such variation in the way they're able to receive it and be able to turn in one movement, whether it be with the outside of the boot, whether it be with the inside of the boot. They seem to have an array of choices. And a lot of players, when they turn with the ball, they actually take one touch, sometimes backwards, sometimes to the side, before they then take that touch off the line to be able to go forward. With these players, it's a little bit different. I mean, you find the majority of players playing one or two touches maybe to be able to do that. But very much in the case of Gravenberch and Gakpo, they can do it in one movement. They almost use the pace on the ball to be able to cushion it with with the instep or whether it be the outside, and just pivot away from that pressure. And I used Gakpo as a really good example because I think he is a very much a similarity in that case. Even the way he's sort of built in terms of his sort of levers and his body, sort of that long languid stride. But I was listening to a podcast with Josh Williams from Allen Eyes and Anfield actually just today. I thought he made a great point, and he mentioned Adam Lallana. And I'd forgot, really, about Lallana in that sense, but I thought it was a really great piece of profiling, because Adam Lallana was as good as anybody in being able to turn in one movement. Again, he used to use the pace on the ball to be able to just turn away in one action, if you like. Now, he used to do it by producing a Cruyff turn. Now, he used to do it either right or left foot. He used to use on the pace of the ball, let it roll across his body, and then he used his instep to be able to play the ball through his legs, and all of a sudden Liverpool were out the other side using a Cruyff turn, again, off both feet. But like I say, with Gravenberch and Gakpo, especially Gravenberch, they just seem to have even more variety to be able to do that. I mean, I suppose another similar sort of player who's able to do that is Thiago. He uses that brilliant outside hook that he's able to use when he, again, when he's facing his own defensive third and he's out in one movement using the outside of the boot. Now, a lot of players can produce an outside hook turn, but they have to take a touch before they produce that turn. He can do it in one movement, drop the shoulder, and all of a sudden he's out the other way. So I think it just bodes really well, because to be a top player, you've got to have an elite trait. Now, that can be your speed to be able to run in behind. It might be your dribbling ability off both feet. You know, it might be your passing ability, your ability to find moving targets, whatever it is. If you've got an elite trait, you're going to be an elite player in some capacity. And if you've got more than one, you're well on your way to being the absolute best within your sort of unit of the pitch in Wales football, never mind anything else. And while it's early days, it is certainly something that he has got an elite trait in. Now, whether he's got enough in the rest of his game to be able to take him on the levels, time will tell, but the signs are certainly promising. And I think when you look at him as a player, it makes even more, I suppose, telling how misread some of the profiling of what him was, or some of the actual understanding of what kind of player he is, because there was a lot talked about that he might play as a deeper player for Liverpool, someone who's going to be, you know, even the deepest player in Liverpool's midfield in terms of the build-up, and he doesn't look that kind of player at all to me. He looks a player who plays in the half spaces, in the higher areas of the pitch. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he could more than do a job as playing in the midfield too, for example. But I think to get the best out of him and looking at his profile, he's almost a more freer midfield player in the attacking sense, and he certainly looks much more suited to a three-man midfield and certainly that left-sided position. And I cannot, for the life of me, seeing him playing as the deepest midfield player for Liverpool. I just don't think it suits his profile whatsoever. So yeah, that was just an interesting one, I thought, in terms of, you know, how players are written about. You know, had people observed this player before? Because it was early on, you could observe him and see that he wasn't necessarily a player who plays under the ball, but a player who plays ahead of the ball almost. So yeah, I just wanted to mention him, I suppose, today, because he's been really impressive, as of a lot of Liverpool's midfield players. I've got to admit, I think Liverpool have got a lovely blend in there at the moment when you think of Alexis, Dominic Szoboszlai, Curtis Jones, even the impact of Harvey Elliott. These are top, top players, and a really nice mix in the different attributes that they have and what they can bring to the game. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about in the biggest games of the season when they're playing, you know, gets the business end of the season. Results are the most important. The international breaks stop being as frequent, and Liverpool maybe go into the back end of competitions, what would be perceived to be Liverpool's first choice midfield, if you like. But really positive from Ryan Gravenberch after today, and a comfortable victory for Liverpool, which takes them on into the weekend, building to that another home game for them.
You've been listening to the Post Game Podcast on the Blood Red Channel.